Well, I invite you to turn to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, beginning in verse 13. I got through more of Romans than I thought I would, and I'm glad to preach one other scripture, Romans 15, 13. And listen to what Paul writes. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. And verse 33 says, may the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Join me in prayer as we prepare to hear God's Word. Father, we thank you for your blessed Word. We thank you for the truths of your Word. We thank you for the kind of life that you want to bless us with. And I pray that you will help us to live that life that we will talk about this morning. Help me as I preach. Help each one as they listen this morning. And I pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, verse 13 is a great summary of the kind of life that God wants to bless you with. But such a life is far different from the way too many Christians live. Too many Christians lack hope when they're going through difficulties in their life. Too many Christians are experiencing sadness rather than joy in their lives. Too many are not experiencing the peace of God in the midst of trying circumstances. But God wants us to be filled with hope, filled with joy, filled with His peace. And so Paul writes this blessing of hope, joy, and peace as he gives this benediction to the Roman Christians. Now, the context of this verse is an appeal for spiritual unity. There was division in the Roman church over practices in the Christian faith. There were some manifestations of division between Jew and Gentile within the Roman church. And so Paul concludes his appeal for unity with this blessing in verse 13. And I believe as he seeks to raise our spiritual living as described in verse 13, he shows us how we can overcome divisions over various issues within the church. You see, I believe that the more our spiritual lives rise to Christ's likeness, as our lives rise to the blessed life described here, the more oneness we will experience. The more we realize that what divides us doesn't matter, but Christ and His blessed life that we can have is what's most important. You know, have you ever been to the beach and you see little pools of water in the sand? And as the tide rises, those individual pools merge into one body of water. And even so, we may experience times of division and separateness, but we need to rise to the kind of life described here and become one in Jesus Christ. And so I want us to look from verse 13 and verse 33, the kind of life that God wants to bless us with. Way back in Genesis, God said to Abraham, in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. God wants to bless our lives. And let's see the kind of life that God wants to bless us with. First of all, note with me in verse 13, the substance of these blessings. There are three vital blessings I want you to experience in this coming new year. The first is hope. Verse 13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope." You know, he had just said of Jesus in the previous verse, "In Him will the Gentiles hope." And notice in this verse, He is called the God of hope. He is the God who gives us hope. He is the God that wants to cause us to abound in hope. The favorite verse of many Christians is Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for prosperity and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." Yet we live in a world that is becoming increasingly dark, a world that seems to become increasingly hopeless. In fact, Paul said of the Ephesian Christians that before they became Christians, they were without hope and without God in the world. Listen, if you do not have God in your life, you do not have hope. If you do not have God in your life, you do not have hope as you face death. Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13, "That you sorrow not, even as others who have no hope." But what is hope? What is our Christian hope? It is an expectation, a sure expectation that God is going to work all things out together for our good. A sure reality of a blessed future based on the fact of the character of God. God is a God of grace. God is a God who loves us. God is a God who is always truthful. And when He makes a promise to us, He will surely fulfill that promise. Paul made references to the promises of God several times in the book of Romans. For example, in chapter 5 and verse 2, he says, "We rejoice in hope of the glory of God." We have the hope that someday we will behold the glory of God in heaven. We have the hope that someday we will experience glorification in our own life. This is a sure hope. Jesus said, "Because I live, you will live also." In 1 Peter chapter 1:3, Peter talks about a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Yes, we have a sure hope. We have a hope of eternal life that has been promised by God who cannot lie. And such promises are recorded in Scripture. Look at verse 4. In verse 4 he says, "For whatever was written in former days was written that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope." Yes, I have a hope that I'll see my mom and dad again someday. I have a hope that I'll see my sister again someday who are already in heaven. We have hope as Christians. And oh, how hope is so important in our lives. Back in 1927, the Navy S-4 submarine was rammed by a Coast Guard vessel, and it immediately sank as it took on water. As it turns out, only six survived that initial sinking and taking on water as they were hauled up at one end of the ship. And before they could execute a rescue, there was a bad storm and they could not rescue them. And it was determined later that they only had about 48 hours of oxygen left. And so the next day they sent the rescue vessels and divers down, and the diver put his ear up against that submarine, and he could hear the tapping of the Morse code. And what those sailors were asking was this: is there any hope? And the captain of the rescue team sent them the message, there is hope. Everything possible is being done. Unfortunately for those sailors, it turns out there was no hope. They ended up dying, every last one of them. But I tell you this, any among those 40 sailors that knew Jesus as their Savior, they went on to live forever and ever. We have hope as Christians. Is there any hope? Man, I was watching a football game last night. Georgia was down 14 points with 8 minutes left in the game against a team that had shredded their defense. And I was asking, is there any hope? Is there any hope? Well, it turns out there's hope. There is hope, especially with God. You know, some of these Roman Christians in just a few years would face the wrath of Emperor Nero, as he would arrest them and he would put them in prison and he would torture them and he would even put many Christians to death. And oh, as they faced such persecution and difficulty, how important it was for them to have hope of eternal life, hope of God's promise that He would always be with them. You know, as we begin 2023, I wonder what this year will bring. Oh, I sure hope COVID doesn't get worse in 2023 once again. I hope that we don't have a downturn in the economy where many people lose their jobs. I hope inflation does not continue to get like it has been recently. We can hope that a loved one is not diagnosed with cancer or some other deadly illness this coming year, but no matter what happens, God wants you to know that as a Christian, you have hope. You always have hope. And you know, one special hope that we have is spoken of in Titus 2:13, the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And when He appears, that will not only bring salvation to us, that will bring salvation to the world. There will finally be peace where there has been war. There will be healing where there has been sickness and disease. There will be a glorious future when Jesus comes again. And so God wants you to be blessed with hope. God wants you to be blessed not only with hope, but also with joy. In verse 13, he talks about the blessing of joy as well. What is this Christian joy that we have? It is a gladness of heart that is inward and independent of the circumstances of life. In John 16:22, Jesus said that He will give a joy that no man can take from you. We have a joy in the Lord, and we have a joy that comes from the Lord. And you know, joy is one of the fruits of the Spirit. If you have the Holy Spirit, you can have the joy of the Lord. And you know, God adds to our joy in many different ways. Salvation brings great joy. In Acts 16:34, the Philippian jailer rejoiced having believed in God with all his household. Oh, if there's someone here today that doesn't yet know Christ as Savior, I hope for you that you will experience the joy of salvation today. And then praise brings joy. Psalm 9:2 says, I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. Seeing God work in answer to prayer brings joy. In John 16:24, Jesus said, I ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. Haven't you experienced the joy of answered prayer in your life as a Christian? Christian fellowship brings joy. Philemon 1:20, yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. And finally, hope brings joy. Romans 12:12 talks about rejoicing in hope. Romans 5:2, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Listen, anticipation of future glories in heaven brings joy now in our lives. I remember in my younger days as a Christian, we would sing a hymn that was very loved by many believers. And it's interesting how that hymn was written. You see, there was a believer in a certain church who was nicknamed Glory Face. I mean, he lived on such a high spiritual plane that it seemed like he always had the joy of the Lord on his countenance. And they had an evangelistic campaign in his church, and a well-known evangelist was there, and he was preaching, and he happened to notice the joy of the Lord on that man's face. And he was preaching about the return of Jesus Christ. And as he was preaching about the return of Jesus Christ, that man would exclaim, yes, yes, that will be glory for me. He said that several times. After the service, he asked one of the members about that man. He said, oh, yeah, that's old Glory Face. He always seems to have the joy of the Lord. And it turned out that Charles H. Gambrill was so impressed with that man that he wrote the hymn, Oh, That Will Be Glory. That will be glory. Why don't you this afternoon look that up on YouTube. Listen to that song. Listen to the words of that song. And think of that man. Listen, that's the way it ought to be. God wants to bless us with joy that no man or circumstance can take away from you. Furthermore, God wants to bless you with His peace. He talks about peace in this scripture text. I believe he's talking mainly about the peace of God, which Philippians 4:7 says surpasses understanding. John 14:27, Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Oh, the disciples were sinking into darkness as they were hearing Jesus talk about leaving them and about His death. And yet, Jesus says, listen, I can give you peace, lasting peace. Do you have God's peace? Do you have that sense of tranquility and serenity that everything is going to be okay because God is in control and God loves you? Can you sing with the hymn writer, it is well with my soul? Because God has given you peace. God has given you confidence in Him. You know, this peace begins first with obtaining peace with God. Romans 5:1 says, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, you will not have peace in your soul until you know you're right with God by faith in Jesus Christ. But that's just the starting place. Once we have peace with God, then we can experience the peace of God that passes understanding. God wants to bless you with peace in the midst of difficult circumstances. And so we see in this verse of Scripture some of the blessings that God wants to grant to you. The blessing of hope, the blessing of joy, the blessing of peace. But I want you to see also from this text of Scripture not only the substance of these blessings, but also the size of these blessings. You know, we live in the day of the supersized menu. Have you noticed that? I mean, a supersized Coke, the supersized fry, the double, triple burger. Listen, that's not very good for you. But this blessing that God wants to fill you with is good for you indeed. Notice again what Paul says in verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Oh, the beloved 23rd Psalm says, my cup runneth over. Listen, God wants you to give you such hope and joy and peace that you just abound in these blessings, that your joy runs over. Such fullness is also described in verse 14. I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge. Jesus said, I'm come that you may have life and have it abundantly. So God doesn't want to grant just some peace, some joy, some hope in your life, but He wants to cause these to abound in your life. You know, in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 4, it says, we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. And Jesus said in John 15:11, these things I've spoken unto you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. God wants your life to abound in hope, joy, and peace. Is that your experience? Do you have the peace of God? Do you have the joy of the Lord? Do you have hope? And do you even have these blessings in fullness as described here? Well, if not, then you especially need to listen to the last point of my message, and that is the steps to receiving these blessings. How can you have this kind of a blessed life in such fullness? How can you regularly have the joy of the Lord, the peace of God in your heart, hope in difficult circumstances? How is this even possible? Well, first of all, by understanding that God is the source of these blessings. This prayer begins with God and it ends with God. Furthermore, verse 13 says that God is the God of hope. Verse 33 says He's the God of peace. Surely He's also the God of joy. And so God is the one who can bestow these blessings, and so you must look to God and put your faith in God to have such a blessed life. So look to God. Don't look to the world. Oh, the world can give you temporary laughter. The world can give you alcohol and drugs, which will temporarily seem to bring some peace into your life. Oh, there's some people that got drunk last night, but they're not feeling so good this morning. I can tell you that. But God wants to give you lasting peace, lasting joy, a sustaining hope. And only by having a growing relationship with Christ can you have these kinds of blessings in fullness on a regular basis. Furthermore, these blessings come to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the divine agent who transmits these blessings to you. And so Paul says in the last of verse 13 that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. It's through the power of the Holy Spirit that you abound in hope, that you abound in joy, that you have such peace. Galatians 5:22 again says that joy is one of the fruits of the Spirit. Peace is one of the fruits of the Spirit. And so if we're going to have this level of blessedness, might I suggest also that you not only possess the Holy Spirit, but that you be filled with the Holy Spirit. As Ephesians 5:18 says, how can we be filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, always ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But I believe we are filled with the Holy Spirit as we yield to the Holy Spirit, follow the Holy Spirit, obey the Holy Spirit in our lives. Don't try to produce these blessings from your own resources, but rely upon God and His Holy Spirit to give you these blessings. Don't look to the world and sinful sources for such blessings. Look to God and His Holy Spirit. And finally, if you want to have this kind of a blessed life, it comes through faith. Notice in verse 13, all joy and peace is ours in believing, he says. We must put our faith in God. Faith is the hand that reaches out to receive these blessings from God. And so it's as we exercise faith in the Lord that we can have His joy, we can have His peace, we can have His hope. You know, we can easily understand how hope requires faith. If we're going to have hope and have confidence that everything's going to be all right for the child of God, that requires faith. In order to have peace in the troubles and the storms of life, we have to have faith. But yet, even joy also is received through faith. So as we place our faith in the promises of God, we have hope. As we trust God as the source of these blessings, we have joy. As we place our faith in the sovereign purposes of God, and the power of God, and the promises of God, we have hope. Sin robs us of these blessings. We must put our hope and faith and trust in God to have the fullness of these blessings. Alan Emery, some years ago, wrote a book entitled A Turtle on the Fence Post. And he describes how he spent one evening on the plains of Texas with a shepherd who had 2,000 sheep under his guard. And as night fell, he started a fire to cook by, to provide warmth for the evening. And then he heard the call of the coyote, and then the answering call of another coyote, signaling the possible approach of the coyote to the herd of sheep, the flock of sheep. And then he noticed something very interesting. Hearing the coyote, the shepherd just got up and put more logs on the fire and made the fire even more brighter. And he looked out into the darkness and he noticed something. He could see the light of the fire in the eyes of the sheep. And the point is this. As the sheep heard the danger of the coyote, their eyes were not looking toward the danger. Their eyes were looking toward the shepherd who would guard and protect them. Dear child of God, when you're going through the storms and difficulties of life, don't fix your eyes on the trouble and the storms of darkness, but put your eyes on the shepherd. Look to the shepherd. Look to the one who makes peace and hope and even joy in such difficulties possible. And again, Paul is talking about an ongoing faith. In believing is a present tense. Yes, we experience joy when we're saved, when we first believe in the Lord. We can begin to experience when we're saved the peace of God and hope as Christians. But if we are going to continue to experience these blessings on a regular and ongoing basis, we must continue day by day by day to put our faith in the Lord. Like manna that arrives new every morning, even so we must continue to each day to continue to trust God in the midst of the trials and the difficulties of life. But unfortunately, too many Christians have the kind of experience that's pictured on the screen. Oh, they'll have moments here and there of joy and peace interrupted by darkness and sadness and despair. Why? What explains the dots interrupting that continual hope and joy and peace that God wants us to have? It's when we're not trusting in God like we ought to. Faith is the key to receiving these blessings. In 1 Peter 1:8 it says, though you do not now see Him, you believe in Him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. We can have peace through faith in God. Proverbs 31:11 says of the virtuous wife, her husband safely trusts in her. That illustrates the truth that as we have faith in God, we have peace, the peace of God. We have hope. We rejoice in the hope that we have. We rejoice in the confidence that everything is going to be okay for the child of God. Don't you want these blessings for this coming year? Well, God has provided these blessings through the work of Jesus Christ and through the power of the Holy Spirit. And the starting place is to make sure you have trusted Jesus as your Savior. If you have not done so, I want to invite you to trust Christ. Repent of your sins. Look to the Lord as the one who can give these blessings, including the blessing of forgiveness and eternal life. But as Christians, sometimes we lose our peace. We lose our joy. Sometimes we even sink into despair. And such times are reminders that we need to look to the Lord once again and put our faith in Him that we may get the hope back. We get the joy back. We get the peace back. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Would you bow with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, I thank You that You indeed wants to bless our lives with hope, with joy, with peace that is full and sustaining. Lord, help us to look to You for these blessings. Help us to put our trust in You for these blessings. And if there's anyone here that has heard this message that doesn't know Christ, Lord, draw them to Yourself. Bring them to faith in Christ. And Lord, I pray for those in this audience that even now may be going through a very difficult time, experience, days of darkness, foreboding of what the future holds. Lord, help them to know Your hope, Your joy, and Your peace. And Lord, hear us as we continue our prayers unto You.